The branches that are up here at the front of the sanctuary, if you hadn't noticed them, they are adorning our worship space to be visual expressions of the main symbol for our worship during Advent, which is the symbol of the tree of Jesse. And some of us have been at home taking some of these crafts, and some of us get together here at 9:30 to make ornaments that decorate either these branches, these Jesse trees, or the paper ones that you can take home. That symbol, the tree of Jesse, comes from Isaiah 11. It's a vision of a tree with deep roots and with hopeful green shoots emerging. It reminds us all that the arrival of Jesus is the expression of God's faithfulness in every single generation and to us too. That's why we rejoice this season. But this week, we turn from tree to bush. The bush that burns, but strangely isn't consumed. God appears to Moses within a burning bush, calls Moses by name, commands him to remove his sandals, and summons him to an important task. Now, you might be tempted to think this morning, that's nice, it's a great story, but nothing like that ever happens to me. But this story of Moses and the burning bush has been handed down to people like us so that we can begin to see our own ordinary lives in a new way. If the season of Advent teaches us anything, it teaches us to wait and watch for signs of God's arrival in the ordinary corners of our own lives. And Moses' story can teach us to pay attention to those life experiences where God can meet us and call us forward into some new task that makes sense in our time and in our place. Many of our days, of course, are unremarkable, filled with errands and tasks, routines and work. On most days, it seems to us like nothing of significance even happens. But I wonder if we're missing something. I wonder if we're sleepwalking through a world in which most ordinary events can be filled with light. I wonder if we're missing the intensity, the beauty, the glory, and the holiness that are hidden in everyday things, everyday encounters. I wonder if this story of the burning bush names some level of experience that's open to every single one of us. I wonder if there's holy fire in almost everything, if we could only see it. Moses wasn't any more prepared for an intense encounter with God's transforming, intense holiness than we are on an average day. He wasn't doing anything religious or spiritual or heroic. He was doing ordinary stuff. There was nothing special about the work that he was doing on that day. It was, I suppose, a day like most of your days or like mine. It was routine. Get up, shower, get dressed, go to school or work. Caring for a flock of sheep is a bit like folding laundry or shopping for groceries or renewing your car tags. It needs to be done, of course, but we'd never expect any fireworks from the process. I would imagine that Moses asked himself occasionally, like we do, whether day after day of uneventful work and unexciting tasks will ever break open into something fresh and exciting and lively. During Advent, we might do well to recall some other shepherds who found themselves surprised while they were out in ordinary fields tending ordinary sheep. To their great surprise, angels descend and scare the wits out of them with the announcement of the arriving Messiah. The shepherds weren't praying, mind you. They weren't in church. They weren't in pilgrimage to the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. Nor were they important people. Nor did they live anywhere important. But the regular rhythms of these very, very ordinary people took a new turn when God sent angels and light filled the sky as the angels announced that their world, the regular world, the average ordinary world, was receiving a new light. Now, when you read the story of Moses, you know something as the reader that Moses doesn't yet know. We're told, as we're reading the story, that an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in flames of fire from within a bush. So we know what's going on. And to us, all this feels very dramatic and sudden. Boom! OMG, there's an angel in a bush, it's on fire, and God's speaking to Moses, right? But Moses doesn't move that quickly for him. He doesn't know that yet. That's not how the experience unfolds for him. For Moses, things develop much more piecemeal, much more gradually. One curious moment unfolds for him into yet another. First, Moses just notices that there's a bush on fire. That's it. A bush is on fire. Okay? He thinks. I don't know why that bush is on fire. But I don't know. I've seen bushes on fire before. I'm imagining what he's thinking, of course. Now, perhaps it's a little odd that this bush is on fire. No other bushes are on fire there on the hillside. Perhaps it's unusual, but the significance of this fiery bush has not yet emerged for Moses. Now, I want to just ask you to pause here at this point in the story so that I can ask you, what's going on in your imagination of this story? What does it look like? How are you picturing the bush? What does it look like? How large is it? How densely arranged are the branches and the leaves of the bush? How far away is Moses from the bush at this point? How high are the flames? How bright is the fire? Was it snapping and crackling like an ordinary fire? Now, there aren't any right answers here, of course. I just thought we should pause and let our imagination savor this wonderful scene. It's good practice to do so just in case such a thing should ever happen to us. Now, I suppose Moses could have seen the bush, then just carried on, walked away. He had work to do. But he kept paying attention to the bush, and he notices that the bush, despite being aflame, retains its integrity. The fire isn't destroying the bush. It's not reducing the bush to ashes. Now, think about it. You wouldn't notice this at first glimpse. To notice that the bush isn't being consumed would have taken several minutes, at least, I think, of sustained attention watching this thing happen. This was holy fire that does not destroy, but flickers and animates. It's the glow of ordinary things. If you need an analog or example, you might imagine, especially during this season, young Mary, pregnant with holiness, not at all destroyed herself, but aflame in her own special way. Or you might imagine the one she birthed, an ordinary, regular Jew, yet utterly filled with God's light. This is the season when we pause to stare at Mary and at Jesus, wondering how on earth could this be? Or you might imagine our own lives, candles lit by the flame of God's Spirit, not consumed, but a flicker with love. Now, at this point, Moses decides to approach, to go near the bush, to question the experience, to investigate what's going on. And the story shifts. At first, it was an angel who appeared to him, verse 2. But that shifts. That angel's replaced by the living God who calls to Moses from within the bush, calls him by name, speaks it twice. Moses. Moses. The experience Moses has is a kind of summons, an invitation, an opportunity to open himself to something holy and deep and terrifying and new. Moses will be different on the other side of this experience. And Moses says what all of us can say when our lives are filled with God's light. Here I am. Here I am. I am here. I am available. I am open to this new experience. Now, I think it's quite possible that this burning bush is a symbol not of something that happens sporadically intermittently, once in a great while, something unusual. I think it's quite possible that the burning bush is a symbol for our everyday lives simply seen from a new and fresh angle. I think it's possible that we walk past the burning bush every single day, but fail to respond with the wonderful, "Here I am," because we're too busy, too distracted to hear our own names called by this wonderful experience. Do you ever dream that your life was a little bit more, I don't know, full of pizzazz? That more exciting stuff was going on, that life felt a little more dramatic? You ever feel that way? I do, I suppose. We sometimes wish that at least once in a while something big happened. And we may feel a little bit disappointed when year after year, you know, time goes by and the ordinary rhythms of life are never pierced by any fiery, intense, life-changing, transforming experience. So I wonder, this morning, I wonder whether the problem is what we think it is. Namely, whether the problem is that nothing's happening, or whether the problem is slightly different, that is, that this burning bush experience happens all the time, happens every day, and the problem is that we don't have the tools or the preparation or the readiness to see it and experience it for what it is. Well, if I'm right that our ordinary lives are full of holy fire, then you should at least know what to expect if you want to be able to respond to this encounter by saying, "Here I am, I'm here, I'm ready, I'm open." First, your life will take on a new kind of reverence. Did you notice what happens in the story? When God meets us in experiences of holy fire, we are in the presence of something powerful, something larger than we are. Moses is told to go no further, stop right there, don't trespass, and take your sandals off. His life is to exhibit a new kind of humility in the face of something overwhelming and wonderful. This is the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Jesse and of David, the God who delivered Israel from Egypt and Assyria, the God who comes to us in Jesus the Messiah to deliver the poor and the hurting. And so when we're on holy ground, we remove our shoes and we bow. The second thing is that your life will take on a new kind of energy. You'll get up and get going. Like Moses, we'll be called to action. We'll be sent out. We'll be given a new ministry to do. Like Moses, we are to respond in a very practical way to the needs of other people. We're not to stand around waiting for another bush to burst into flame. Here we learn that God calls us to important work and we're to go. "The cry of the Israelites has reached me," God says to Moses. Here is our clue that we will experience God's holiness when we tend to the places of misery and pain. The God who appears to Moses in a burning bush is the same God who announces good news that the Messiah will be born. And this is a God who takes sides. This is a God who takes the side of Israel, who takes the side of the poor, who takes the side of the little, who takes the side of those who are in pain. And any response from us to these experiences of holiness will always involve a willingness to get going and to play some small part in tending to the lives of other people who need something from us. There's no way to tell where your life might be aflame with something holy and new. There's no way to predict in advance when and where God's going to call your name and summon you to play your own part in God's healing work. So how might this burning bush appear to you and to me? Just a few examples, maybe this, I won't name them all, but maybe this will multiply other examples you'll think of. Maybe the burning bush for us might be this holy season of Advent, which is sacred time, time to rest, time to pause, time to take stock, but we can just whip right through it without a thought if we're not careful. Maybe the burning bush might be a symbol for our own lives. Burst into flame with God's goodness and God's beauty, but so often ignored by us. Maybe the bush will be the faces and lives of other people near to us, a child who needs us, or a grandchild, a parent who needs us, a spouse, a friend, somebody who calls to us for our attention and our care that we can give. Maybe it will be the simple needs of someone who's in pain, someone who's lonely, someone who's depressed or hungry or in prison. Those are all wonderful occasions to extend God's merciful care to other people. Might the bush be some arresting, mesmerizing, beautiful, natural thing, a bug, an animal, your pet, a landscape, a field, the woods, a pond, a stream, a lake. Some of you are outdoors people. Might these places be unholy and on fire if we only had eyes to see? Might it be some area of frustration in your life or conviction, some nagging hunch that you can't get rid of, an insight that you've been sort of circling around but you can't quite get, a burr in your saddle. Some social problem or political problem or relationship problem that you might be able to do something about. Could the bush be a beautifully crafted thing, a sculpture, a bowl or a vase, a painting, a poem, some striking expression of architecture, a piece of music? Might it be something very ordinary, something like the earthy elements of bread and cup in the sacrament when we share the meal together, which we'll do later this month. Ordinary elements that become for us a feast in which God unites us to Christ and to one another in this shared call to ministry. Well, those are just a few things. You will think of others. Just about anything in your life can become a bush aflame with holiness. And one of the things that can happen to us when we hear this story from Exodus 3 is that the different and divided parts of who we are can begin to experience some healing. The quiet, still, contemplative part of who we are can begin to rejoin the energetic, active, go-go part of who we are. When we think of different people's personalities, we tend to distinguish people as either daydreamers or doers. The slow-moving or the energetic. Those who like to talk, people who like meetings, right? And those who just get things done. In our spiritual tradition, this is often the distinction between people who are called contemplatives or mystics and those who are actives. Mary and Martha are the names that sometimes get assigned to these two different kinds of personalities. But I think one of the things we learn from this story today is that these things can be held together and should be held together. Doing and being, prayer and action, mystical experience of the bush, and getting stuff done. All this goes hand in hand. These are two sides to every life open to God's holy fire. The story of the burning bush reminds us that God calls us, God invites us, God speaks to us from within our ordinary lives. God meets us in our everyday experience along the paths of normal travel and routine. The symbol of the burning bush can anchor us in a healthy, everyday mysticism. It can ground our lives in a deep, contemplative, prayerful posture so that our activity, our busyness, our efforts, our work doesn't become cold-hearted and brittle. It sustains us by helping us to attend to God's fire within us, among us and between us, so that we can live and work out of deep reserves and draw on resources that we find within our own lives and relationships. For some of you, things like poetry might help. There's a poem by Mary Oliver in your bulletins. I'll end with this. You can take this home. This could, I suppose, be your Advent prayer for the week. When I Am Among the Trees by Mary Oliver. When I am among the trees, especially the willows and the honey locusts, equally the beech, the oaks, and the pines, they give off such hints of gladness. Really? How would you know that? I would almost say that they save me, and daily. I am so distant from the hope of myself, notice not from God. I am so distant from the best hope of myself, in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. I wonder if she had Exodus 3 in mind when she wrote this. Around me, the trees stir in their leaves and call out, stay a while. The light flows from their branches, and they call again. It's simple, they say, and you too have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine. Amen.